Welcome to a special edition of Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine, and this is...
Jeremiah. Is it special because I'm finally back? Yeah.
It's only been a month.
I know. Oh.
It's so crazy. Yeah. So crazy. So much has happened. Trips to Hawaii, family stuff, right?
Yes. Yes. Crazy things.
But it's all good. And now we're in Easter week.
Yes.
Holy week.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to everybody out there. And like I said, this is a special edition. I did it yesterday, and we're going to do it again today because we are honoring Resurrection Weekend, basically. We've got Good Friday today. This is episode 116.5, so we're still in the right numerical order. We're just going to take a little break from 1 Kings and focus on Jesus.
That's right.
That's what we need to be doing. That's the basis of this whole podcast that we do, is getting to know Jesus.
100%.
So how are you doing, Mr. Man?
I'm good. I'm good. Things are never settled down around here. So, just trying to keep up with everything that's going on, and sometimes can be a struggle. So, but I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad we're doing this.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I've really missed doing this with you. I mean, not that I don't love doing it, daily, of course, but it's so much more fun when I get to talk to you.
It is.
It's a little lonely all by myself. Yeah. And I'm sure the people listening or watching, I'm sure they would love to see you too.
Yeah, once in a while, right? They like
I
that.
I think they would like you to be here every day, but we know you got a job to do, and you're a busy man, so. And I'm gearing up to be busy as well. So, there's a lot of stuff going on over in this neck of the woods. I actually might be coming to San Antonio again.
All right.
So possibly, I was planning to come in May with Rich, but I may have to come in April for some business that I got to take care of. So I'll tell you about that later. So some personal stuff, nothing, no big deal. But anyway, I know that you're on a time schedule today, so I don't want to delay. Do you want to go ahead and open us up in prayer?
Yes, I'd love to do that.
So I was talking about our Bible. I was talking about our It's the Little Things segment that I was going to tell you about, but I think I'm going to I'm reusing a Bible verse again that has to do with this weekend. So,
okay.
I think we're going to do, I'll give you the Bible verse. I'll give the Bible verse because I'm pretty sure you forgot.
Yes.
Well, maybe you didn't. Maybe
you didn't. No, I didn't think about it.
We are a little out of practice, but you know what? We're right back into it. So it's all good, right?
Yes, 100%. Yes.
All right. Well, you go ahead and pray, and
all right,
then I'll give the verse of the day.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Almighty, forgive our sins, patient Lord. We come before you, kneel at the throne, Lord, and offer up our lives, our blessings, our prayers, and praise and worship to you, Lord. Glory be to God, 100%. Glory be to you, Lord. What a fantastic time that we get this time of year. It's the Passover, which leads us into the resurrection of Christ, one of the hallmarks of our life as Christians. And we get this time to remember the things that Jesus has done for us, and the sacrifice that he has provided to take away the sins of the world. It's Easter, so I know as a family, we've talked a lot about things, and a lot of things are coming up just about what was sacrificed in our place. to take on all the sin of every person at every time period throughout the world and bear it and take this death that we're going to read about today and defeat death and rise on the third day, which is Sunday. And what an amazing feat. And Lord, my prayer is that this belief, a lot of times we say we believe in Jesus, Lord, and which is good, but I my prayer is that we change that vocabulary, Lord, and it becomes to I know Jesus, I know you. Mm. I know my faith, I know what was given up for myself and my sins. I know these things. I don't just believe them, I know them. Lord, and what an amazing gift of grace it is to know that Jesus' death meant something and creates an eternity for us to be with you. And I know that I'm going to be with you. The death is not the end. It's the end of this physical form, but death will only be the beginning of our journey to be with you for all eternity, Lord. What a heavy and amazing concept that we get to know. And what a blessing it is to share this, to be a blessing to others and share this word and share this knowing of you and to bring that blessing to others, Lord. That's been my prayer, is I want to be a blessing to others to know Jesus and to know you, Lord. There's a lot going on in the world. We get busy, things happen, but you're the constant, Lord, and knowing that is also just an amazing, amazing concept, that no matter where we are, highs or lows, you're always there, Lord. Always, always there. So I pray for those that are listening or watching that they are joining us on this journey, continue to grow and continue to know who you are and to know who Jesus is and to know what our future holds. I pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say and keep us out of your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I think I'm having a bit of a brain cramp because it was about 2 weeks ago that I think that I may have already posted this verse, but I'm not sure. So we do packages for our college students. We have these little packing parties and we box up some stuff for the kids. Okay. So I did little Easter. Well, it was for St. Patrick's Day, but I ended up kind of including Easter into mine as well. Anyway, so I wrote little cards to the kids and they had Isaiah 53:5-6 on it. And that says, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. And that's from Isaiah. That was prophecy several hundred years before Jesus even showed up on the scene. So, you know, for me, I actually challenged the kids to read the whole book of Isaiah and for them to pay attention to how many times Jesus is mentioned in that book. It's become, I think, my favorite book now. After reading it. So I just felt like that was the prophecy of Jesus and what he did for us. And then it came to fruition. Today is the day that Good Friday is the day that he was, you know, crucified. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like that was I think it's kind of pertinent to bring it back and 100%. Repost it again, even though it's only been a couple of weeks. If I did post it, I think I did, but I'm not sure. That's what happens. You know, you turn 60 and bam, your brain goes like mush. So anyway, So that's your verse of the day. It'll be reposted today. I'll take care of that. So today we're going to read in Luke. Jeremiah and I talked about it. I think we've mentioned this before when we read through the New Testament the first time, that Luke was a physician.
Right.
So he really kind of gets what Jesus went through physically on the cross. And I think that anybody... Am I still there?
Oh. Yeah, I just switched it to...
You did. You flipped it. I'm so... This is how out of practice we are. So... Okay. So anyway, as a physician, he understood exactly what Jesus, you know, his body was going through. And not just as he was crucified, but also when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying to, you know, to God to take this away from him, they say that he was sweating blood. And literally and physically, your body under pressure will do that, apparently. I don't know because I'm not a physician. So, but anyway, let's go ahead and dive into Luke chapter 23. And this is episode 116.5. Jesus's trial before Pilate. Then the entire council took Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor. They began to state their case. This man has been leading our people astray by telling them not to pay their taxes to the Roman government and by claiming he is the Messiah, a king. So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." Pilate turned to the leading priests and to the crowd and said, "I find nothing wrong with this man." Then they became insistent, "But he is causing riots by his teaching wherever he goes, all over Judea, from Galilee to Jerusalem." "Oh, is he a Galilean?" Pilate asked. When they said that he was, Pilate sent him to Herod Antipas, because Galilee was under Herod's jurisdiction, and Herod happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. Herod was delighted at the opportunity to see Jesus, because he had heard about him and had been hoping for a long time to see him perform a miracle. He asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Meanwhile, the leading priests and the teachers of religious law stood there shouting their accusations. Then Herod and his soldiers began mocking and ridiculing Jesus. Finally, they put a royal robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate, who had been enemies before, became friends that day. Then Pilate called together the leading priests and other religious leaders along with the people, and he announced his verdict. "You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him thoroughly on this point in your presence and find him innocent. Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty, so I will have him flogged, and then I will release him." Then a mighty roar rose from the crowd, and with one voice they shouted, "Kill him and release Barabbas to us." Barabbas was in prison for taking part in an insurrection in Jerusalem against the government and for murder. Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he demanded, "Why? What crime has he committed? I have found no reason to sentence him to death, so I will have him flogged and then I will release him." But the mob shouted louder and louder, demanding that Jesus be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate sentenced Jesus to die as they demanded. As they had requested, he released Barabbas, the man in prison for insurrection and murder, but he turned Jesus over to them to do as they wished. The crucifixion. As they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming in from the countryside. The soldiers seized him and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd trailed behind, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, 'Fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the wombs have not borne a child, and the breasts that have never nursed.' People will beg the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and plead with the hills, 'Bury us.' For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing.' And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched, and the leaders scoffed. 'He saved others,' they said. 'Let him save himself, if he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' A sign was fastened above him with these words, 'This is the king of the Jews.' One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, 'So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it.' But the other criminal protested, 'Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus replied, 'I assure you today you will be with me in paradise.' The death of Jesus. By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, 'Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands.' And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, 'Surely this man was innocent.' And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. The burial of Jesus. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. As his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun, so they rested as required by the law." Whew, that was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to highlight anything?
Yeah, I highlighted a few things.
Okay. So I thought this was going to be a little bit more detailed as to what happened to Jesus with when he was whipped, and that must be in a different book.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Matthew. I mean, they all have an account of it, right?
Right. They all have an account, but they're more descriptive, I think, in Matthew.
So maybe, do you want to describe to the people out there, if they've never read this before, maybe what Jesus went through?
So the best I think that I've ever seen or really got was from The Passion of the Christ, the Mel Gibson movie.
Yes.
So basically the whipping, right, they would put like hooks, several hooks in the whip, And so that's what they started with. That's what the flogging is. And so it, usually, I think the whip has almost like three ends to it, all with hooks on it. And so it was repeatedly whipping him with these hooks all over his body, not just on his back, but, you know, the front of him and everything. So essentially it would rip the skin from his body.
Yes.
And in doing this, just tore up the skin and caused this enormous pain, because we're so sensitive on, you know, we've got so many nerve endings on our skin, feeling every piece of skin being ripped. Then after that, they found thorns, a bushel of thorns. And I'm sure they were careful to wrap it into essentially a crown or a hat. And they just didn't put it on his head. They actually like shoved it to stay in his head. So those thorns, which I imagine, you know, aren't, you know, there's some rose bushes that have these little thorns, but I mean, like a thorn bush has pretty significant thorns on it. So, you know, pushing that onto your head and hitting your skull, in addition to all the pain that you're having on yourself. And this is all done like right after he's done with Pilate. Then in addition to that, now that he's just in pain and agonizing, then he has to carry the tree, the cross he's going to be hung on. He has to carry that from the prison to the skull, to the place they're going to crucify him. But because he was so torn up and kept falling and just weak from the pain and anguish, that's why they had to pull Simon out of the crowd and tell him, hey, you need to carry this cross because this man's going to die before he gets to the place we're going. We don't want him to die like that. He needs to hang. So it's so hard to put into words. And even when seeing it, to imagine it, you can't, like, I don't think we can imagine like the what it really happened. We can describe it. We could see it on the screen, but I mean, to see someone physically in person go through this, I don't know. Like, I don't know how these people watched it.
Yeah.
You know, my wife has never seen The Passion of Christ because she's like, I can't. Even that, knowing it's fake, like, she's like, I can't watch that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think I've told you this story, but flashback to when Gabriel was like, I don't know, 5 or 6 was when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And CBC was running clips from it.
Yep.
During the service.
Mm-hmm.
There was no disclaimer, like saying, if you got some kids in the audience,
yeah,
you know, you need to take them out before, you know, damage Gabriel. He, to this day, he can't, because that one picture, you know, with the bloody face and, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Cassie, she did. I knew they were going to do that. And so I told Cassie, so, you know, we didn't go that Easter weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, we had no idea. So it was like, and I think I told Robert, I'm like, you know, you should have put a little disclaimer up there.
Yeah.
You know, saying we're going to be running some clips from this, because a lot of people brought their kids to church that day.
Right.
You know, and it was, anyway, I'm going off track. So, yes, I think that is the absolute depiction of what, I think Mel Gibson got it 100% right.
I think so. Yeah, and that's to represent our sin. I mean, that's what, yeah, we deserve.
Yeah.
Right. For the sins that we commit. Like, that's what, how God sees sin, whether it's a, yes, small white lie or murder or whatever it is. It doesn't matter what the sin is. The matter that it makes you unrighteous. And so before this time, the Jewish people had to sacrifice lambs and go through that route. So before Jesus did it, you know, there were things they had to do, but Jesus took it on for everybody.
That's right.
And that's what the cost was.
Well, that was the ugliness of the sins. That's
right.
The ugliness and the horribleness, the horrificness of it. That's the way God views it. And like you said, it doesn't matter. Sin is sin.
Right. Unrighteousness.
It doesn't matter how big or small it is. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And we are all guilty of it.
Yep.
You know, it's just our nature. We can't help ourselves. You know, and without the blood of Jesus, we can't be forgiven. I think I posted a couple of days ago, I go through these like little whims where I'm like scrolling through and some good stuff is popping up. And somebody had posted a picture saying it's not about the bunny, it's about the lamb.
Right.
And there's a picture of a lamb with a crown of thorns on its head. And anyway, I thought that's true. You know, people get caught up in the whole, you know, it's about the Easter eggs and the bunnies and, you know, the candy and all that. And it's, you know, I don't know how it turned into that. It's kind of like Christmas with Christmas presents.
I think it was a way to initially, there's a lot of spring celebrations out there. And I think it was initially a way to bring in unbelievers to bring their traditions with them so that they could celebrate this in accordance with Christian beliefs.
I did not know what the whole like premise of that was. And I'm sure we can look that up somewhere.
Yeah, the eggs and the treats are very paganistic, but I don't, when they were kind of brought in together, I think it was just like Christmas with the Christmas tree and everything. It was traditions that at the time the church was telling people, you can still have these traditions, but we're celebrating Christ. We'll still make this fun, but, you know, trying to relate it to Christ and create the celebration with it. So I don't think it was necessarily wrong in what they were trying to do at the time. And this is, you know, this is early century church,
right.
Mid-century, or probably mid 800s, 900s, something like that. So way over 1,000 years ago, that they were just trying to include everybody to celebrate Jesus. So they were saying, hey, bring your old traditions. We're going to, make them relevant to Christ. I think it's really what it is. And so, but, you know, as humans, what do? We forget about Jesus and we celebrate these other things.
Right. Well, it gets diluted.
Yes.
You know,
that's a better word, diluted.
And that's what makes me kind of sad. So, you know, hopefully whoever's out there watching, listening, whatever, I hope that they're getting the
fact. Yeah. I think it's wrong to do these things, you know, Easter egg hunts or whatever. But the ultimate memory, the ultimate point of this is, you know, the sacrifice and then the victory over death.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the other thing. Maybe when we do our podcast on Monday, we can do the resurrection, because that's what the whole point is.
Right.
You know, I remember watching what's his name? John Legend, either a year or two ago, did a remake, a TV version of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the end of it and they didn't do the resurrection.
Mm.
And I'm like, it was a great production, but I'm like, okay, you didn't finish the story.
Right.
You know? And so that was very disappointing, because that's the whole point of the whole, you know, and I love the play. I love the music that goes with it. I think it's awesome. But if you don't complete it, when you watch the movie version from the 70s, mm-hmm. they did a movie version of it. They actually show, I think, maybe, I might be confusing two different movies, but I think they show Jesus walking away, like his shadow. Now, you know what that was? King of Kings. Did you ever watch that?
I haven't. If I have, it's been a very long time.
Okay, so the King of Kings is from the 60s or 70s. Every year, I remember watching it. Every year. And it's like, I wasn't a true believer back then,
mm-hmm.
you know, but there was something about that movie. I just had to watch it every year, you know, and it's what this whole weekend's about. It's all leading up to the fact that he did what he said he was going to do.
Right.
And the tomb was empty. It was gone. The stone was rolled away.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think we should definitely read that on Monday.
Agreed, 100%.
Yeah, cool. Well, is there anything that we wanted to point out anything that kind of pinged on you?
Well, there was a couple of things. I will say what really pinged on me here was at the end. I'm just going to go to it because I guess just thinking about this again and realizing the significance of it. So in the last verse, you know, his body was taken away. The women from Galilee followed, and the tomb and the body was placed. So they went home to prepare the spices and the ointments to anoint his body. And so the Old Testament talks about, you know, one of the prophecies was that he'll be dead for 3 days, right? The third day he'll rise again. So the fact that they were preparing this stuff on the eve of Passover and the Sabbath, or the Sabbath, I should say, like they couldn't go anoint the body on Saturday or the next day because they can't do any work. So the fact that they had to go on Sunday to finally anoint the body, that's the day he rose and he wasn't in the tomb. It's just that, you know, these little details, I think, are just, I think we've got to pay attention to.
Yeah.
You know, and that really pinged on me today. Like, cause we were talking about it. Cassie didn't, I just didn't really get the concept. I don't always think about it, but it pinged on me earlier in the week. We were talking about it, like how Easter always falls on Passover. And then the day before Easter, of course, Sabbath is celebrated on Saturday. And the fact that all this is kind of done at the same time, and just, again, just thinking about, wow, you know, the timing of everything is so precise and so every detail, you know, about God that God lays out and everything is if we miss them sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and so the fact that they couldn't go on Saturday, had to wait till Sunday, the day he was going to be raised. That's when they, you know, get back to him and he's not there.
Yes. Yeah. I think that, you know, I was saying this to Rich. I said, for anybody who is a non-believer, if you actually dug into these scriptures, you know, I said to him, like, you know, like when you read Isaiah 53, mm-hmm. you know, that whole account of how his body was broken and, you know, for our transgressions, and, you know, Jesus couldn't orchestrate what was going to happen to him.
Right.
There's no way he could have orchestrated the crucifixion. He couldn't, there's no way, you know, all the things that were leading up to that moment, you couldn't, you know, and a lot of people might say, you know, oh, he planned it that way. He couldn't have planned that Pilate was going to, you know, flog him, or that he was going to be releasing Barabbas, or he was going to send him to Pilate. None of that. You can't plan it.
No.
You know, what I was reading yesterday, when he, right before the Last Supper, and he told the disciples, go into the town and tell them that the Lord needs a room to celebrate Passover. And miraculously, there was a room for him. Jesus couldn't have orchestrated that. There's no way.
Yeah.
You know, so for anybody to say that, you know, Jesus is just a character in a story, I it makes me sad to hear that.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Pilate, like, you know, Romans took insurrections very seriously. That's how they ruled so much for so long. Yeah. So, and the fact that Pilate's like, well, he didn't do anything. I mean, that's, you know, that's the Roman, he's in a high, you know, he's over that entire land. And he's like, no, this, y'all are crazy. But he still didn't do what, you know, I mean, he had to do it because that's what it was called. But like, he wanted to release him.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that wasn't said in this particular version of it, and I think it's in Matthew, where Pilate's wife has a dream about Jesus, mm-hmm. and she tells Pilate about it, and this also didn't talk about how Pilate washes his hands in this whole thing.
Yeah,
you know, there's like so many nuances. It was probably Matthew, because Matthew was the tax collector. Yeah. He was a little more detail oriented.
Yeah,
so he probably described it a little bit better, but yeah, I mean, you know, there was so much that went into this whole scenario that we didn't even take into account in this particular passage.
Right.
I challenge anybody out there to read all the accounts. If you're listening or watching, get in there and start reading the different accounts of what, because they basically say the same thing, but in different viewpoints, because you've got four different people writing about it.
Yeah.
But they're all God ordained. All of them. They're all God ordained. It's like, this is his, You know, we've said it before, it's his biography.
Exactly.
Written by different people. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's always awesome. I love reading this. I'm glad that we took a few minutes to give due homage to our Savior. So, and with that said, did you have anything else?
No.
Since we are, you know, talking about Jesus and him being our Messiah, the Lord, our Savior, if you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, if you're reading through this Bible study with us and you're on the fence, this is your moment. This is your time. It's not an accident that you found us. There's a reason you were searching. So if you didn't or haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, if you've not said the prayer, we're going to lead you in the prayer of salvation. Mm-hmm. It's not a magic prayer. It's nothing about me. It's not about Jeremiah. It's about you and your relationship with God. So I'm going to say the prayer, and I hope that you make today your day. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son Jesus on the cross. It's his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations. Welcome into the brotherhood or sisterhood of Christ. You're now part of the family.
Yep.
We always say, mark it in your Bible, mark it on your calendar, in your phone. Make this a day of celebration. This is huge. This is like Easter weekend that you got saved. So if you did get saved, we'd love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. How do they do that?
I'm going
to get in touch with
us. Several ways. You can email us, Lorraine at leapoffaithpodcast.org, Jeremiah at leapoffaithpodcast.org, Facebook and Instagram. You can message us. You can comment on anything, post to the wall. We see all that. So definitely reach out to us about your salvation or any kind of story you want to share and that you'd like to share with others. Anything, really. If you give us permission, yeah, we'll definitely share it with everybody. So we love to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you need prayer, we're happy to pray for you. We've done it in the past. There's several people that we continue to pray for who have mentioned on our they've messaged us. And so we respond. Yeah. We definitely do. We're small, but, you know, we're here and our prayers are just as good as everybody else's.
That's right.
So. We also encourage you to get to a church or a pastor, especially this weekend.
Try
to find an Easter service to get to and celebrate. But also getting involved with your church. God gives everybody talents and gifts, and he wants you to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can join a ministry, a Bible study, mission work, volunteer work, whatever it is that you feel like God's calling you to do, go do it.
100%.
You know, this is what God has called us to do. We feel like we're on the right path. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep going until we finish reading, and then maybe we'll start all over again. Who knows?
That's right.
But anyway, we're just glad that you were able to join us. Is there anything else that we're? Oh, we were going to talk about Easter, maybe. Did you want to tell us what are you guys doing for Easter before we sign off?
Well, we actually don't have any plans this year because of my mother-in-law who has got through cancer. She went through chemo successfully. So she's having surgery today. And so we're going to be just with her and making sure she's doing fine. So we're really, you know, this year we're kind of being a little bit low key and just taking care of people. You know, taking care of our family. So
very cool. Yeah. We're being a little bit, keeping it small as always. You know, we're just, the boys are going to be here. Josh is going to be here and Morgan, his girlfriend, and Victoria. So we're all going to celebrate. We're going to probably go to church. Rich is on call all weekend during the day, but he'll be home in time to go to church Saturday night. So we're going to do the Saturday night service.
Nice.
At Shadow Mountain Church. Not that we're doing a plug for Shadow Mountain, but that's where we've been going to with Dr. David Jeremiah. He was sick last weekend, so I'm hoping that he'll be there this week.
I bet he will.
Yeah, so we're just praying for him to be there. So just exciting. Yeah, it's Easter. You know, Doing a regular Italian meal, just like I always do. So sometimes I do a ham, but not this
one.
Yeah. Spaghetti's easy for me because it's like, I could make a sauce and it's just easy. So anyway. All right, everybody out there, thank you for joining us for this special edition for Easter. We are so blessed to be able to lead this Bible study, and we're just glad that you're able to carve out a little bit of time with us. So we're saying Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
And we will see you on Monday.
Monday. Awesome.
All right.
Bye, everybody.